Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special summer edition of the official Lost Audio Podcast, hosted by ABC.com. We're going to jump right into things. We have the highlights from the Lost panel at Comic-Con 2008. For the uninitiated, those who weren't beaten up in school, Comic-Con is a four-day gathering in San Diego of all things comic book related, and then some. We, of course, had to make some edits for time, but the good stuff is here. Well, most of it. You can find the videos from the panel at abc.com. Also, our apologies for the audio quality. We had some difficulties plugging into the boards. I think the Dharma people were a little jumpy. In any case, here now are Damon Carlton and special guest Matthew Fox.
Obviously, for those of you who haven't been to a Lost panel before, Q&A is a big part of our panel. A lot of it is about you asking us questions and us giving you answers. We really haven't talked at all about Season 5, saving it for you guys here. So we're going to get to the Q&A almost immediately, but there is... one other piece of business that we have to talk about.
We have some sponsorship issues. You know, Lost is now moving into its later years. You know, obviously everyone knows the advertising models for television are changing a lot. So we've actually taken on a sponsor this year for our panels, a little bit like American Idol. As you can see, the Dharma Initiative is actually sponsoring our panel this year. Mr. Von Lee.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Lindelof and Mr. Hughes, for giving me time on your panel to discuss our current recruiting efforts. As many of you know, we have been conducting an extensive campaign, both here in San Diego and in the national media, to find top-quality men and women for the latest iteration of the Dharma Initiative. Over the last 3 days, right here on the convention floor in San Diego, we have administered hundreds of ASR tests, aptitude, suitability, and readiness tests, to those recruits who we believe were of the highest caliber. And I am here to discuss the results of those tests. They were abysmal. In our wildest imagination, we could not have predicted this result. I mean, truly pathetic. You see, we believe that this was the ideal gathering to find top-quality men and women to serve in this vital mission. But instead, we found you. Boys and girls in a state of perpetual arrested development. You all sicken me. Despite these results, I am happy to announce that we actually were able to find a few excellent recruits. And I would like to now name them, read off their names, and I would like to ask if any of them are present. Please come to the front of the stage. These are Ms. Jennifer Pritchard, Mr. Liam Brocker, Ms. Allison Gibbons, Mr. Dan Bronson, and Mr. Matthew Loberg. Please, if you're here.
Here they are. Wow. It's very exciting.
Come to the stage.
This is the best and the brightest. Wonderful.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, these men and women are exactly what the Dharma Initiative is looking for. They are recruits of the highest intellectual, moral, and social standing. And they will now be invited to go with me back to the recruiting booth, where they alone will be allowed to move on to the next critical stage of the Dharma mission. But it's not too late for the rest of you. If there are any of you out there who believe that you've got what it takes to become a member of the Dharma Initiative, We will be testing the rest of today and all of tomorrow, and you can prove me wrong. And we will be doing this at booth number 3529. And then on Monday, you can register at dharmawantsyou.com. Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate that. Bye, guys.
So, time for questions and answers. This is what we know you've all been waiting for, really.
Just so I have this straight, those five people are now going to go back to the Dharma booth, and they are going to watch something that nobody else is able to watch, including...
Well, you and I are not going to get to watch it, apparently.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm glad we wasted time doing that. All right, guys, there are microphones in various places. We see...
We have a questioner. Please, after this question, do not leave the microphone. We wait until you are dismissed.
Exactly.
Howdy, Dan and Carlton. Name's Bo. I'd like to give a shout-out to the ODI group that's here.
Right on.
My question is, I was wondering if when the hatch imploded and the sky turned purple, did the island travel then?
That is a good question, and the answer is no. Now, some of you might be wondering...
What's in this box?
What's in this box over here? And we basically decided we're going to, for everybody who asks a question, we're going to give you a question appropriate, a gift. You know, there are various gifts if you ask us a question about certain characters or whatever that will sort of affect the gift that you get. Carlton is now selecting the gift that this gentleman is getting. An oceanic bottle of water. It's an oceanic water bottle for asking about the hatch.
Next question, please.
Hi. First off, I want to thank you guys for the hard work and dedication you've put into completing season 4, despite the difficulties last season.
Thank you.
My question is, I'd like to know the fate of Jin and Locke. Are they actually dead, or are we going to see them in the zombie season?
Jin and who?
Jin and Locke.
Oh.
Yeah. Jin will still be on the show in some form. I don't know. You've not seen the last of either of those characters. I think, though, for us to actually talk about, you know, dead is a relative term, really. In the sort of timelines of those characters, there's a lot of story yet to be told. So the show will still have both those characters on the show.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have a panda bear for that question. A Jin panda bear. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, after the finale, local news station mentioned that there's only 2 seasons left and next season won't start till about January or February next year. Is this correct?
You can always trust the local news, sir.
Yeah.
They were a little bit behind the curve. Yeah, we announced halfway through season 3 that we would, in fact, be ending the show after the 6th season of the show. So we're going to do 17 hours of the show starting in February of this year, and then 17 hours in February of 2010, and then Lost will be done. So, yeah.
And one more appropriate gift for you, sir, than a Lost calendar.
A Lost calendar. Mark the date. Support your local news.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Rat Basement. They have the best Lost message board there. We love you guys. You're geniuses. The question is, out of all the episodes you've ever done, which one do you love the most? Which one do you think was the best? And out of all 4 seasons, which season do you think was the best in your guys' eyes?
I would say The Constant would be my favorite episode of the show. And, you know, I think in terms of favorite seasons, the first season was just so amazing because we were sort of trying to figure the show out and we were launching headlong into the adventure of trying to do this show. And I think the sort of adrenaline rush of both excitement and terror that accompanied executing the first season would be hard to top for me.
Yeah, for me, the season 1 finale, probably one of my favorite episodes to write, just with the Raft launch and all that stuff. It was back when the show could still be hopeful and before it integrated into utter despair. But, I actually also really like season 4, the season that we just finished. I think everybody did an awesome job. And, you know, I think it goes without being said, you know, when a television... We've been on the air now for 86 hours, and a television show is going to have... it's a roller coaster. It's going to have ups and downs, and, you know, we're not just pandering to the crowd here to say that you guys really never lost faith in the show, and you will be rewarded for hanging in all the way to the end of season six. We think that we have a lot of cool stuff from here on out, so hopefully when we ask this question again, we'll say seasons five and six.
Oh.
Apollo Bar and Apollo Bar t-shirt just for you, young man.
Thank you so much.
And you can eat this.
Oh, yeah. I plan on
it. You can also eat
not
the bar.
Not the shirt. Yeah.
Hi. Excellent season four.
Thank you, sir.
But I do want to slap you guys a little bit for the little episode where Sun's having the baby and Jin's looking for the doll and we're all like tracking with it and then suddenly find out they're in different time zones. So, naughty boys. Question.
I like that you refer to it as time zones. Like, you're like, gee, you know, I'm in the mountain time zone. But so they kind of, no, that's okay. You can.
Anyways, on all the advertisements, especially for the last season, we see the cast standing there on the island with palm trees, and then the reflection inside of the water has to do with cityscapes. Is this a clue? Is this a hint? Is this something? Or am I just losing my mind?
No, I think you may be reading a little too much into it. I mean, last year we were telling the story of the Oceanic Six. We knew that Jack and Kate had gotten off the island, and I think the advertising campaign meant to be reflective of the fact that there were six characters that were in the real world, and we were going to be telling their stories during the course of the season.
A gift for this?
A gift for this
gentleman for slapping us around? Yeah, for slapping us around at
the end of Heroes DVD.
There you go. Thank you. It's a much better show than ours. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
First of all, congratulations on your Emmy nomination. Well deserved this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I've been waiting since season one to see a Rousseau flashback. Will you now definitively, in front of 6,500 of the best Lost fans, say there will be a Rousseau flashback?
Here?
What?
Well,
it. We will say this. You will see definitively this year Rousseau's story, but to use the word flashback might be disingenuous.
Yeah, we're steering away from the word flashback and embracing a whole new word.
Yeah, so the idea, there will still be flashbacks and flash forwards on the show, but we're going to do something different this year. We're going to kind of mix it up. Something new is going to be happening.
Danielle Rousseau will be in season five.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, wait. You're going to get a gift. Carlton, could it be Rousseau-oriented? Is it a rifle? I am lost luggage tags. Classy. There you go. At least it's something. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
James Darling. JamesDarling.com. My question is, actually, how much does the rest of the writing staff know about how the show will end, or is it all in your heads? I mean, even your own mothers don't know how the show is going to end.
Wow. Talking about my mother in front of 6,500 people. It's a Jew's
love the episode.
Dream.
Love the podcast.
Our mothers would argue with you about the definition of how much they know, but they actually like to be in the dark. They don't really know anything. The other writers do actually know quite a bit. I mean, they don't know everything, but look, we're basically putting together the last two seasons of the puzzle, and so a lot of that plotting involves things that are going to happen really very much at the end of the show. So we have an incredibly fantastic writing staff, and we work collaboratively. We break the stories in the room with all of them, and so they're very much a part of the creative process, absolutely.
How about a life vest signed by all the writers?
Yeah, we have a life jacket signed by all the writers.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, have you guys ever read or seen the movie, and did it in any way influence the show, Lost Horizon?
Yes, have seen it. I don't think that's not one of the things. It's not like a touchstone movie. I think there are other things like you know, Stephen King or, you know, other sources where that we actually...
We do rip it off, wantonly.
And talk about it openly. But I think, you know, anything you watch sort of in the genre category, I think ultimately influences what you do as a writer. And, you know, so for us, you know, all those things that are in that category do kind of, I think, permeate our consciousness.
We're asking a literary question. Our Mutual Friend by Charles Dickens.
Is yours.
Desmond's copy. It's all yours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Hello. Damon, I love your shirt. And second of all, I'd like to thank you for letting Saeed be badass again.
Saeed has always been badass.
Well, he stepped it up. My question is, as an animal lover, I'm kind of concerned. What happened to Vincent?
Oh,
I'd really love to know.
It's funny. We were wondering when the question's going to come, sort of what's happened to the island, you know, after this flash, and what happened to all the people that we care about? What happened to Sawyer? What happened to Juliet? What happened to Locke? How's Locke going to end up in the coffin? No,
I don't think anybody.
It's Vincent.
It's what happened
to... people want to know.
It's what happened to the dog.
Vincent's okay.
Vincent made it and will appear in season 5. I think it's safe to say Vincent's going to make it to the very end of the show. But, you know, I don't want to ruin the surprise for you. What you got there, Carl?
We don't have any dog gifts, but we do have a polar bear for you.
So, yes. There you go. Wonderful. Excellent.
Thank you for coming out this weekend. I'm very curious. Is Jack and Kate your one true pairing, and will they get together at the very end of the show for good?
See, there's someone who actually asked a question, a real ballsy question, right to the heart of mythology. We can't tell you.
No. Sir, we cannot tell you the answer to that question. Obviously, we're very invested in that relationship. Jack Shepherd is obviously the sort of hero of the show. He's where it all begins.
And that romantic triangle is, you know, very central to the show, and there is still some very interesting, we think at least, permutations of the Jack Kate Sawyer relationship that's going to play out in the course of the next, in the next 2 seasons of the show.
But you would want Jack and Kate to get together if you weren't, like, the writers or anything. If you were the viewers, you would just want them to get together, right?
Personally, I really like those two, but professionally, I have to take the 5th on that.
But for asking that question, we're going to give you a Jack Shepherd doll.
I don't know. I mean, you know, frankly, maybe we should pick another gift because, as much as I love the action figures, I just don't think the Jack figure really looks like Jack.
I think...
I want the action figure.
Want the action figure?
I think it looks a lot like Jack, though. He's sort of got the broad shoulders and the striking eyes and the intense "I've just been in a plane crash" look, and I think it's a spitting image of him.
I really beg to differ. I mean, I just don't think it really does look like him.
I don't care. Can I please have it?
I think it looks exactly like Jack Shepherd, and I would stake my reputation on the fact that if you want to come up, he'll sign it for you. If you want to come up here, gentlemen, who asked the question, take a little photograph. Very exciting. Matthew's going to join us up here for a little bit of Q&A.
Okay, next question, please.
Hi. I would just like to know if Kate will ever see Sawyer again.
Not if Jack has anything to say about it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, Kate will see Sawyer again.
Right. So, for you, we have a poster signed by Yun Jin, Terry O'Quinn, Evangeline Lilly, Jorge Garcia, and Josh Holloway for your bedroom.
Thank you, young lady.
Hi. Thanks, y'all, very much for being here. It's awesome. I was just wondering what's going to happen to all the poor survivors that are in that little itty-bitty boat now that the island's gone and they're all just paddling around in the ocean. Do we ever get to find out?
You refer to the Zodiac boat with Faraday and the 5 people that have never spoken a line on the show?
I'd be a little bit more worried about the non-line speakers than Faraday.
I'd say things are looking up for Faraday, but for those
other poor people in the Zodiac. Sadly,
There is a monsoon coming.
Wait a second. I'm trying to remember back to the dailies. You're not one of those people, are you?
No, but I could be.
Actually, while Carlton gets a gift, I kind of want to ask Matthew this. The background actors on the show, who we in the writer's room sort of refer to as the Sox, and occasionally, you know, you have a Dr. Arts who steps forward to get blown up, or, you know, Rose and Bernard, who are more prominent. Do you actually know those guys? I mean, you've worked with them now for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're hanging out with them every day, and they bring it every day, too. They're real professionals, and they do a great job, and we need them to be there and to do a good job, and they always show up on time and do it.
So when the flaming arrows start flying, you need someone to sort of push in front of you.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's
a protective barrier.
Excellent.
Awesome. We have actually a tie, an authentic tie.
An authentic Faraday tie.
On the show.
That's the real deal. That is, for those of you wondering why Faraday is wearing a tie on an island, stay tuned.
Hey guys, my name's Bryce. First of all, I want to say thank you, Matthew Fox, for being one of the most intense actors on television screen. But my question has to do with the flash forwards, or if you don't want to call them that anymore. But I was wondering, how are you guys going to limit yourselves? Are you guys going to make it go 2 years into the future, 5 years, 10 years? Are you guys going to stop at a certain year, or could we see flash forwards in many years forward?
Well, that's a good question. Matthew?
Yeah.
I'm going to kick that one right back to you guys.
This season especially provides us with, once again, sort of an ability to tell stories in a fresh and exciting way. I think last year everyone was saying, is the show just going to be flash forwards now? And that was limiting in that we could only really focus on stories about the Oceanic Six if you were doing flash forwards, because we didn't want to reveal certain things like Desmond getting off the island. This year, once again, when season 5 starts, you're not going to know when and where you are. We do this fun thing every year with sort of trying to let the audience kind of try to figure out where and when you are. And then the way we're going to tell stories is going to be a little different too.
But there will be storytelling in both on the island and off the island and in different periods of time. So it's just going to be organized a little bit differently. We felt like if we were constrained by the rules of just flashbacks and flash forwards, as you've seen them on the show before, that was going to, you know, not be the best way to tell our stories. And for us, we're always looking for what is the most compelling way to tell the story that we want to tell in any given episode.
Hanso Foundation hat for
I
you,
love
sir.
It. Thank you.
Good. That should fit very nicely on your hand.
Thanks.
Hey friends, your friend Bob Stencil with the firstshowing.net. Just between me and you, how does this show end?
Well,
we hope it
Bob Stencil.
It ends well, we hope. We can't answer that.
But hey, do you have a gin prize in there? I love gin.
The alcohol or the character?
There's a character?
Let's get something for Bob here. There you go, Bob. Good for you.
Don't drink that all at once. Next question.
Next question, please.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yes. Post note for all you listeners out there, this guy looks like Hurley. Dead on. Even the sideburns.
Hi, my name is Stuart, and I'm a Lostaholic.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi.
With everything that went down at the Tempest, when Jack and Kate show up and Charlotte says, well, if you come with me, I'll explain everything. We never really got to see that conversation, so what did Charlotte explain to Kate, and how did Daniel know about the secondary protocol?
May I answer the second part first? Daniel knew about the secondary protocol because he has this little notebook with him. And written in that notebook are all sorts of things that have already happened or are about to happen. And it will figure very prominently into season 5. So you'll learn about that. And as for the Tempest, basically the scene that we never wanted to write was Charlotte explaining to Juliet that there is a station where they manufacture massive amounts of poison gas that could wipe out the entire population of the island, and that they were going to neutralize it as a precautionary measure.
And for you, sir, we have a large tub of Dharma Ranch dressing.
Oh, yeah! It never goes bad.
You guys already
know this, but you are awesome. And my question, even though, actor guy, you're awesome. Thank you.
That's kind of make you feel good about yourself.
I want to know. I have this ongoing debate with some people, sometimes strangers. They'll say something mean about Lost, and I jump up and contradict them, because it's important. And so, I want to know.
That's awesome.
Do you ever write yourself into a corner? Do you ever go, no ideas. And like come up with something like, let's make Kate a dude. Yeah. Or
that's
something.
Good.
Or whatever. And or do you have it all planned out from the very beginning?
You know, you can't have it all planned out. I mean, we have sort of the big landmarks planned out, but we try to actually write ourselves into corners every day. I mean, that's actually what's really thrilling is we actually will, you know, we'll sit in the room and we'll say, well, what if we put the characters in this particular predicament? You know, how would we get them out? You know, what we try to avoid doing is filming that without knowing the answers. But in the writer's room, all the time, I mean, I think that's almost kind of the exercise, which is what is something that seems almost impossible to get out of, and then we basically try to kind of puzzle our way out of that situation.
You know, we force the show to evolve, and sometimes we do really scary stuff that we shouldn't do, but then, you know, if you blow up the hatch, then you can't do any more stories in the hatch, and we feel like the audience is basically going to start to get frustrated unless we move it forward, so, you know.
Yeah, you know what, and for that, we actually, you know, as I said before, we do all of our writing in a room, and it's full of whiteboards, and this is actually one of the dry erase boards for erasing all those things when we put ourselves into corners and we can't write ourselves out of it. Signed by Damon and myself, so this is going to be awesome for you.
It's your very own eraser!
Yeah. Thank you.
How old is Richard Alpert, and how many toes does he have?
Ooh. That's a really good question.
That's a really good question. Wow. He is quite old. Obviously, we have hinted before that aging on the island is a different process and people heal. We've seen that as well. And obviously, we've seen Richard Alpert in some different time periods and he looks pretty much the same. So I think that is hopefully an engaging mystery that will keep you watching the show through this season, and you will actually learn a lot more about Richard Alpert's history.
Matthew, if you had to guess, how old Richard Alpert?
125 years old.
Wrong.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Number of toes?
Well, let's just say that
you originally had five.
You know, if you were looking forward to Richard taking his shoes off to answer that question, you're going to see him barefoot in the very near future. And that's pun intended, the very near future.
Anyway, but in honor of your question, we have a t-shirt that says, I asked a Richard Alpert question and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Oh man, this is awesome. Alright, so the big mystery in season 3 was we finding out who was in the coffin. And we found out who, but I thought what was more important was what you guys named him. And you called him Jeremy Bentham. And one of Jeremy Bentham's big things was the Panopticon. So my question is, are the people on the island being watched, and do they know who the person is who's watching them?
Wow, so
that's a good one.
What do you? Yeah, it is. You know, essentially, when we wrote the season 3 finale, Jack hands Kate this obituary, and his thumb is obscuring the name.
Excuse me, I gotta talk. My name's Dan Bronson. I'm one of the recruits.
Well,
and sorry,
you can't be on stage.
And I'm here. They just took me back to the booth. Do you guys want to know what they showed us back there? Because I have proof. I have it all right here.
Security.
After 4 seasons, they deserve to get some freaking answers.
All right, thank you very much.
If y'all want to see it, you let me know.
That's very
you
kind.
Have to know. Because I know that you can't, they don't have enough manpower in this building to stop.
Okay,
Wow.
Do we have a prize for that young man? I guess he's gonna show his video now.
Dharma Fish Biscuit!
No, this panel is over. We are withdrawing our sponsorship. This is a circus. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Well, sorry, we... didn't really have anything to... But I was drinking that.
Fair enough.
All right. Well,
I guess that's...
Guess that's it.
So,
thanks,
we'll
everybody.
Try to find another sponsor before next year. But till then, thank you guys all very much.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks, as always, to the good people at Comic-Con International for hosting this awesome event. And if you want to see more of the Lost Experience at Comic-Con or check out the video from the panel, you can find it all at abc.com, where you can also find more information and podcasts as we get closer to launch of Season 5.